Today we gather as Christians to celebrate a remarkable event. Amen? A dead person coming back to life. And you have to admit there's something that, it's not something that any of us here has ever witnessed. And if we did see it happen, most of us would probably have a panic attack. Pastor John Ortberg tells the story of a friend of his who used to work as a church denomination official up in Minnesota. And one of his jobs was to travel to little rural communities where there weren't pastors to officiate or churches big enough to host a funeral. He would go out with an undertaker, and they would drive together in the undertaker's hearse. Ortberg writes, "One time they were on their way back from a funeral, and my friend John was feeling quite tired. So he decided he would take a nap. And since they were in a hearse, he thought, well, I'll just lie down in the back of the hearse." Sounds like kind of a creepy thing to do, but this is a true story. The guy who was driving the hearse pulled into a service station because he was running low on gas. The service station attendant was filling up the tank, and he was kind of freaked out because there was a body stretched out in the back. And while he was standing there filling this tank, John woke up, opened his eyes, knocked on the window, and waved at the attendant. And John said he never saw anybody run so fast in his whole life. I would have loved to have seen that. If that is how someone responds to a mistaken resurrection, just imagine how Jesus' followers responded when he underwent a real resurrection. Think about how the women felt when they went to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus and found an angel as white as lightning that had rolled back the stone and sat on it. And then that angel told them not to be afraid, that Christ was risen just as he said, and he invited them to come see the place where he lay, and then instructed them to tell his disciples that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. Or think about how Peter and John must have felt when the women told them the good news. They ran to the tomb, examined the burial cloths and head cloth left inside, but had no understanding of what had happened. Can you imagine what Mary must have felt when a man she thought was a gardener said her name, but it was actually the risen Lord? Or how about those two men on the road to Emmaus, what they must have felt when they finally recognized the guy who walked with them and talked with them and ate with them was the resurrected Christ and then disappeared from their sight. And finally, the disciples, the Lord's closest friends, the same Jesus they saw crucified on the cross, suddenly appeared in their locked room and showed them the wounds in his side and his hands. And then sometime later, he unexpectedly showed up on the Galilean shore, made breakfast, and ate fish and bread with them. How on earth could their human minds reconcile such things? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an incredible historical incident, and there is nothing in this world like it. Think about it. Throughout history, many different religious leaders in this world have lived and died, but none of them have come back to life. This is a supernatural story. But for those of us here who have a relationship with Christ through faith, for those of us here in this very room who have turned from sin and trusted in Him alone for salvation, it is so much more than just a great story. Since we believe that Jesus is a risen Savior, it impacts our past, our present, and our future. It makes a ginormous difference in what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen in our lives. You see, the resurrection isn't just a holiday that we celebrate one day of the year. We rejoice in the reality of Christ's resurrection every day of the year. How so? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you how so. Because we believe Jesus is a risen Savior, it assures us that we have been made right with God. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verses 24 and 25. And if you don't have a Bible, the verses will appear on the screen. I want you to notice, beginning in the middle of verse 24, the Apostle Paul wrote, God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He, speaking of Christ, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. What is justification? It's the act of pronouncing righteous or to cause to be in a right relationship with. Spiritually speaking, justification is to be declared righteous by God and in a right relationship with him, just as if I had never sinned. When you and I believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin, we were forgiven, and our divine judge pronounced us not guilty. It says, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does Jesus being raised from the dead have to do with our justification? Well, the resurrection of Christ, it was like God's seal of approval upon the substitutionary death of his son. When it happened, God gave testimony to the fact that he had accepted the saving work of Jesus on behalf of sinners. If the Lord had not risen from the dead, there would be no outward evidence of God's satisfaction with Christ's sacrifice. His resurrection assures all of us who believe in him that his death brought us justification before God. I want you to think of it in this way. When people go shopping and they pay for something, they are given this little sheet of paper. It's called a receipt. The receipt validates the purchases that we make. And if there is ever a time or a question, or if anything goes wrong, the receipt proves that the payment was made in full. Now, for Christians who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, their salvation was paid in full on Friday afternoon when Jesus was crucified on the cross and said, "It is finished." Early on Sunday morning, the receipt was given. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our receipt. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's receipt for the payment of the death of Jesus Christ, which assures us that our salvation has been fully paid by Jesus and that we have been made right with God. Hallelujah. Secondly, because we believe that Jesus is a risen Savior, it allows us to live a new life. Turning ahead in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, or you can find this scripture on the lavender insert in your bulletin. It's rather long, and that's why we included that. In Romans 6, verses 4 through 11, Paul wrote these words. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, underline it in your Bibles, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, the point of the passage is this. Because we have placed our faith in Jesus for salvation, we are spiritually united with Christ, and we identify with him in both his death and his resurrection. You and I have died to sin's control over our lives, and we are no longer its slave. What's more, we are resurrected to a new life of righteousness. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. And as Christians, this is true whether we feel like it or not. We need to accept this spiritual reality by faith. In addition, this new life is possible through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. It is he who gives us victory over temptation. It is he who gives us the power to think and to feel and to do what is good. Paul also wrote in Romans 8, verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote those very familiar words in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. John MacArthur says the resurrection power of Christ deals with sin at our salvation, but to defeat sin on a daily basis, we need his resurrection power to be our resource. We need his strength to serve him faithfully, to conquer temptation, to overcome trials, and to witness boldly. And only as we build our relationship with Christ and tap into his might will we have victory over sin in our lives. Tim Keller tells the following story about the power of Christ's resurrection. There was this pastor in Italy. And there he saw the grave of a man who had died centuries before. And this man was an unbeliever and completely against Christianity, but he was also a little afraid of it too. And so this man had a huge stone slab put over his grave so he would not have to be raised from the dead, or in case there is a resurrection from the dead. And he had insignias put all over this huge slab saying, I do not want to be raised from the dead because I don't believe in it. Well, evidently when he was buried, a little acorn must have fallen into his grave. So 100 years later, the acorn had grown up through the grave and split that huge slab. And it was now this tall, towering oak tree. And the minister looked at it and asked, if a little acorn, which has power of biological life in it, can split a slab of that magnitude, what can the acorn of God's resurrection power do in a person's life? And then Keller comments, the very minute that you decide to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It's the power of the resurrection, the same thing that raised Jesus from the dead. And think of the things you see as immovable slabs in your own life. Your bitterness, Your insecurity, your fears, your self-doubts, those things can be split and rolled off. And the more you know Him, Jesus Christ, the more you grow into the power of the resurrection. Is that true for you? Really? Have you personally discovered the same power that raised Christ from the dead? You see, His resurrection is not simply about some great miracle that happened 2,000 years ago. What happened back then allows us to experience a new life today, victorious over sin, one that produces the righteous fruit of the Spirit. It makes a difference in how we live. Thirdly, because we believe that Jesus is a risen Savior, it absolutely guarantees our own bodily resurrection. We know this because Christ made a very comforting promise. Many of you remember this story. After her brother Lazarus had died, the Lord said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And he asked her the question, "Martha, do you believe this?" This truth here, it's found throughout Paul's letters. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each one in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him." Or 2 Corinthians 4:14, "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence." 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Most of you here have heard that expression. There are two things that are sure in life. What are they? Death and taxes. Well, many years ago, The Onion, a satirical site, ran a very humorous fictional story that highlighted this biting truth. The article in The Onion was titled, "World Death Rate Holding Steady at 100%. It reported, "World Health Organization officials expressed disappointment Monday at the group's finding that despite the enormous efforts of doctors, rescue workers, and other medical professionals worldwide, the global death rate remains constant at 100%. Death, a metabolic affliction causing total shutdown of all life functions, has long been considered humanity's number one health concern. Responsible for 100% of all recorded fatalities worldwide, the condition has no cure." I was really hoping, with what all those new radiology treatments, rescue helicopters, aerobics TV shows, and what have you, that we might at least make a dent in it this year, WHO Director General Dr. Gernst Blatt said. "Unfortunately, it would appear that the death rate remains constant and total, as it has inviolably been since the dawn of time." Now that's funny, but because of this sad and certain reality, many people today fear death, don't they? But we Christians, we don't have to. And because of what we have been given, and because of what we have been promised, we do not have to be scared to die. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, which we looked at several weeks ago here, the apostle penned, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Hallelujah. Robert Berenger shares this personal story. How many of you didn't like geography? How many of you like geography? We've got a very mixed bag here this morning. He says, I can still recall a time in a geography lesson back in elementary school in which we learned that the very southernmost point of Africa is a point which for centuries has experienced tremendous storms. In fact, for many years, no one even knew what lay beyond that cape. For no ship attempting to round that point had ever returned to tell the tale. Among the ancients, that cape was known as the Cape of Storms, and for good reason. But then a Portuguese explorer back in the 16th century, Vasco da Gama, successfully sailed around that very point and found beyond the wild raging storms a great calm sea. And beyond that, the shores of India. And the name of that cape was changed from the Cape of Storms to the Cape of Good Hope. The Cape of Good Hope. My friends, until Jesus Christ rose from the dead, death has been the Cape of Storms, on which all hopes of life beyond had been wrecked. And no one knew what lay beyond that point until on Easter morning, those ancient visions of Isaiah became the victory of Jesus over our last great enemy. Jesus defeated Satan. And suddenly, like all those ancient explorers, we can see beyond death to the hope of heaven and eternal life with the Father. And more than that, we dare to believe that we shall experience in our own human lives exactly what the Son of God experienced in his. For the risen Christ says to each one of us who know him, because I live, you shall live also. This is the very heart of our faith. And then finally, because we believe that Jesus is a risen Savior, it promises that we will be raised like him. And this is really cool. Turn in your Bible again or find on the other side of your insert 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In verses 42 through 49, discussing our resurrected bodies, Paul wrote, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, referring to Christ, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man, speaking of Adam, was of the dust of the earth. The second man, Christ, from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born, we have borne the likeness of the earthly man," again underline it, "so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." So shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. One Bible commentary says, our earthly natural body is fallen, and because of that, it's temporary, imperfect, and weak. Our heavenly spiritual body will be eternal, perfect, and powerful. Like a seed that is sown on the earth and the plant which proceeds from it, there is continuity, but there is a gloriously evident difference. And even better yet, we are going to have resurrected bodies like Jesus. Because Paul also wrote in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "But our citizenship, it's in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." I really appreciate Max Lucado's thoughts on this truth. He asked the question, would you like a sneak preview of your new body? Well, we have one by looking at the resurrected body of our Lord. After his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days in the presence of people. The resurrected Christ was not in a disembodied, purely spiritual state. On the contrary, he had a body. He had a touchable, visible body. Well, I just asked Thomas. Thomas said he wouldn't believe in the resurrection unless I put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side. The response of Christ? He appeared to Thomas and said, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. Stop being an unbeliever and believe. Jesus didn't come as a wind or a mist or a ghostly specter. He came in a body that maintained a substantial connection with the body he originally had, a body that had flesh and bones. For did he not tell his followers in Luke 24:39, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see that I have? Jesus' resurrected body then was a real body. Real enough to walk on the road to Emmaus. Real enough to appear in the form of a gardener. Real enough to eat breakfast with the disciples at Galilee. Jesus had a real body. But at the same time, this body was not a clone of his earthly body. Mark 16:12 tells us that Jesus appeared in another form. While he was the same, he was different. So different that Mary Magdalene, his disciples on the sea, and his disciples on the path to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him. And though he invited Thomas to touch his body, he passed through a closed door to be in Thomas's presence. So what do we know about the resurrection body of Jesus? Well, it was unlike any the world had ever seen. What do we know about our own resurrected bodies? They will be unlike any we have ever imagined. Will we look so different that we aren't instantly recognized? Perhaps we may need name tags. Will we be walking through walls? Chances are we'll be doing a whole lot more. God is going to renew your body, and he is going to make it like his. And you will live forever in that body. It will be different, mind you. What is now crooked will be straightened. What is now faulty will be fixed. Your body will be different, but you won't have a different body. You will have this one. Does that change the view of hope that you have? I hope so. I have one final thought. Your pain on this earth will not last forever. Believe it. Are your joints arthritic? They won't be in heaven. Is your heart weak? It will be strong in heaven. Has cancer corrupted your system? There is no cancer in heaven. Are your thoughts disjointed? Your memory failing? Your new body will have a new mind. Does this body seem closer to death than ever before? It should. It is. And unless Christ comes first, your body will one day be buried. Like a seed that is placed in the ground, so your body will be placed in a tomb. And for a season, your soul will be in heaven while your body is in the grave. But the seed buried in the earth will blossom in heaven. Your soul and your body will reunite, and you will be like Jesus. Amen. All these truths are absolutely certain for those who believe Jesus is a risen Savior. But for those who don't, the scriptures present some very bad news. The Bible teaches that an unbeliever is not right with God. An unbeliever is an enemy of God and an object of his wrath. An unbeliever is still a slave to sin, controlled by the old self, which results in spiritual and eternal death. An unbeliever will experience a resurrection. However, it won't be for heaven, but for condemnation and to be cast into the lake of fire. And worse yet, an unbeliever will have a resurrected body that experiences destruction. But the good news of the Bible, the gospel, is that you can be rescued from all of that. Because Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. When you personally acknowledge that Christ is the God-man, and you have faith that he died on that cross for your sin and that he rose again, you will be delivered from sin, death, and hell. You have God's word on that. And if you've never done that, I urge you to make that decision of repentance and faith today. What a greater day than Easter Sunday to place your faith in this risen Savior and experience all the blessings that he has promised. So you can receive forgiveness and peace with God and the gift of eternal life. And for those of you here who have already believed, I invite you to respond. To join me in praising God for all the blessings that the resurrection of Christ gives us. As we close, let him see through your sincere and your heartfelt worship that you know this holiday is so much more than just a story.